Radio Network calling. Insurgent Radio Network calling. This is the Insurgent Radio Network. And this is Terrible Tommy, Tom Metzger, right here in the bunker, right next to Terrible Tommy's Terrible Tavern and Steakhouse and Filling Station. Insurgent Radio Network calling. Insurgent Radio Network calling. This is the Insurgent Radio Network, and here is Terrible Tommy right here in the bunker in North Central Indiana on a beautiful day, a beautiful summer day, nice and cool and low humidity and everything that other places around the country don't have, I think. How about that? This is the July 31st, 2014. This is the very last day if you got a plan to put it in force. Because if you don't do it today, it'll never get done on this date again. This date will never come around again. So just remember that. And this is Thor's Day. Yeah, I like that term, Thor's Day. Well, let's talk a little bit about DNA, because there seems to be some problems with DNA and the way it's handled by law enforcement.
Really marginal samples.
Here's how incomplete DNA can point to the wrong person. A truly unique DNA profile consists of at least 13 locations mapped on your DNA. But often, labs don't map that many, either because they only have partial samples or because they save time or money testing fewer locations. And even an exact DNA match doesn't always identify the guilty party. Investigators at the scene of a 2012 homicide in San Jose, California, discovered a stranger's DNA on the deceased. Running it through the state's database, they identified a former convict, Lucas Anderson.
But on the night in question, Lucas Anderson was here at Valley Medical Center in San Jose being treated for alcohol poisoning. So how could his DNA have possibly made its way from the hospital where he was unconscious to a murder scene?
The ambulance that transported Lucas from San Jose to Valley Med to be treated for the alcohol intoxication was then the ambulance that responded to the homicide. The pulse oximeter, it's that thing that goes on your finger that measures your oxygen levels, was put on Lucas's finger, and then when they got to the scene of the crime, was put on the victim's finger, and that the DNA was transferred in that method.
In the end, Lucas Anderson did 5 months in maximum security confinement based on DNA evidence that put him at the scene of a crime he was nowhere near. Jacob Ward, Al Jazeera, San Francisco.
He was 16 and a half years behind bars for rape and murder. He was exonerated in 2006, even though he spent time behind bars through the use of advanced DNA testing. Mr. Deskovic, every case that has been reviewed so far, we're talking 160 in all, was found to include flawed forensic testimony from the FBI involving microscopic hair matches. What does that say to you?
That says that the justice system is broken and that junk science has led to many thousands of people being wrongfully convicted.
Now, you served more than almost 17 years behind bars for a crime that you did not commit. DNA evidence proved you innocent, so what needs to be done now to make sure that what happened to you doesn't happen again?
The same deficiencies that happened in my case, you know, the DNA proven wrongful convictions need to be, the reforms need to be enacted into law. We need to videotape interrogations. We need to have better identification procedures. We need to have a better system of public defense. And we need to, the system needs to be willing to admit error when it has happened.
Now, lest we get ahead of ourselves and forget that there is another side of this story, how concerned are you that some people say if they got it wrong the first time, they may be getting it wrong the second time and let the conviction stand?
I think that, can you re-ask the question?
Yes, in the case of this evidence that is now coming out, some people will say, okay, they got it wrong the first time. It was flawed FBI evidence the first time. Now they're saying we got it wrong and it's flawed evidence this time. How concerned are you that they may be getting it wrong with this new evidence that is being presented?
I'm really not concerned because, I mean, generally speaking, when it's a retesting, that usually proves to be more accurate. But the answer would be have an independent lab, independent expert do it.
Now, the prisons are, and this may be the understatement of all time, but are we opening Pandora's box here? Because the most common letter coming out of a prison begins with a sentence, "This may be impossible to believe, but I am innocent." Not everybody behind bars is innocent. innocent. So how do you handle the backlog of people that claim they're innocent versus the people that may be?
You analyze the case very carefully, and you know what the red flags are that lead to wrongful convictions. Look at what the evidence is. Is it flawed or not? And you go from there.
Is that one of the reasons why you believe that courts and law enforcement have been reluctant to allow defendants to review their cases because a lot of them are not innocent?
I think it has more to do with, I think that's an element of it, but I think that has more to do with the system not wanting to admit the error. You know, our system is the best in the world, and, you know, we're not making mistakes at the level actually that we're making them. There may be some concerns as to the financial aspect of it. In terms of how many cases get reopened, if you have innocent people, if you have 1,000 innocent people that actually are innocent, what, you only want to let out half of them just for expediency? You'd want every single person who's wrongfully imprisoned to be released.
Jeffrey Deskovic, as always, thanks for being with us. 17 and a half years behind bars. Thank you, Jeffrey.
Thank you very much for having me.
Dell, one of the most wanted men in the U.S. has now been caught.
Well, there you see how easy it would be to set someone up. And if not the federales or even local police, your neighbor. It'd be very simple to plant DNA on somebody. And if they didn't have a valid alibi, something that could be proven by several witnesses, they'd be screwed. So this, and I think there's a lot of guilty blacks that are getting released from prison because of liberal progressive whiners reading their DNA results the way they want to read them. Because all of a sudden you're getting all these blacks that are getting out of prison because they're wrongly convicted. Yeah. Boy, I'll tell you, these people who are speaking for this Israeli government, the bandit state, or something else on TV. You get on Al Jazeera and so forth, and those people will lie their ass off, and boy, they can look you straight in the eye. But you know what? People will say, well, my goodness, that so-called 6 million, it's horrible. Well, number one, we all know it wasn't nearly that many Jews were systematically killed. But we do know one thing, that Israel has received $121 billion, and that's not adjusted to inflation and everything else, from the United States, plus the secrets to the atomic bomb and all that kind of stuff. And so it was worth them. It was worth it to lose a few hundred thousand Jews, especially a lot of wayward Jews that were pretty much integrated into the German society. So anyhow, $121 billion to that little pissant postage stamp country. And do you think the Palestinians are getting anything? Well, you know, it's the whole damn thing's illegal because of the Balfour Declaration. The British didn't have any kind of so-called right at all to mandate Palestine to the Jews. There, I mean, that's where it all started. And they didn't have any kind of really legal standing to give a country away. They had been colonizers, and they had been occupiers, but that don't make you owners of the land. So here is, under the Balfour Declaration way back there in the 20s, I think it was, giving land that wasn't Britain's away to the Jews. So the whole thing is built on a lie, a total, absolute lie, just like the Palestinians say. Well, I'm seeing more and more white people delivering free water down to blacks in Detroit. Now, I venture to say that the largest percentage of these people that are crying they've got no water and they can't pay their bill, or they won't pay their bill, are black. Now, obviously, there's a few white people getting hurt in this, or maybe, and some of those people are not paying their bill. And people coming in, white people, probably white Christian insanity people from Canada, to bring water into Detroit. I don't think that's a good idea. It's interfering with the rules of Mother Nature. And if these people, these blacks, don't have the wherewithal or the gumption to find water in the area of Detroit, I mean, if suddenly if I had city water and it was shut off, I guarantee you I'd get water. Just like even in Africa, those people walk for miles to get buckets of water. So before everybody gets so sympathetic to these people, let nature make its course. If you don't take care of your bills, and if you don't dig a well, or if you don't do something, then thirst to death and blow away. That's my answer to the whole problem. Might makes right. Of course, it didn't help things that the whole city government was laced with blacks, niggers, that allowed this situation to get to this point. I mean, you know, that's on the TV news this morning. They were crying about people couldn't remember who the presidents were, say, two or three presidents back. Well, why should they? They were such lousy presidents that we want to forget them. Lousy, warmongering bastards that have sold out the white race. So who cares about them? We don't want to remember them. We don't want to go to their presidential libraries and all that bullshit. So forget them. That's good. You see, the Republicans want to impeach Obama, which is nothing but a cheap tactic for the upcoming primary and all that kind of stuff. What he needs to be, not only impeached but imprisoned for directly involving himself in the destruction and elimination of the white race in North America. His complicity, complete complicity, along with the presidents before him, of conspiring to eliminate the white race in North America. Incidentally, I have four $25 postal money orders to go out to four of our good POWs out there doing time for the race. So we'll be getting those filled out today and in the mail, thanks to you. They really appreciate this help because some of the prisons are really bad, like that one down there in Florida where one of our friends is at, where the last time he got donations sent to him by us last month, he had to use that to buy a pair of shoes. The prisons in Florida, you know, the farther south you get, the more into the Bible Christians crap you get into, the meaner they are to prisoners. And so in Florida, they got to buy almost all of their own clothes, shoes, and things like that. So anyhow, farther north you go, it's interesting, the more lenient they are with prisoners. Until you get up into Canada, and they're really lenient. Because when I and my son John were in jail for a few days up there, we got treated great. The guards are professionals. They are, you know, like public servants down here. I forget what you call it. But they're well trained. They're polite. And like I told you before, they gave us tea and crumpets, tea and biscuits twice a day. I mean, that's beyond your regular meals, you know, the British custom. And, you know, in your Nordic countries over there, they treat prisoners quite well. And even in Britain, I understand it's a lot better than the way they're treated here. Just remember, these Christian Zionists, they talk about Jesus, but they really adhere to the Old Testament punishment and torture. Well, there's not too many people I despise more than Sean Hannity on the Fox News. A pampered little bastard that he just thinks he's so great and wonderful. Well, Russell Brand, who is pretty well known around as European, did a running dialogue on Sean Hannity that's pretty funny. I'm going to play it for you.
Hello, welcome to the truth. We're looking at Hannity now.
Welcome back to Hannity. The Council on American-Islamic Relations, better known as CARE, has launched a massive letter-writing campaign calling on Israel to end its military offensive in Gaza.
I don't mean petty or trivial, but Sean Hannity does look a bit like the Ken doll in the Toy Story 3 film.
Now, in a press release, the pro-Muslim organization said in part, quote, the U.S. government must not remain silent about Israel's unjust and disproportionate use of force against the Palestinians in Gaza.
Also, he had his name on a police badge in the corner of the screen.
Hannity!
Like, it's got police badge with stars above it.
Because American taxpayers provide Israel with billions of dollars of aid each year, we have a right to demand that those funds not be used to take the lives of innocent civilians.
Right, that sounded reasonable, didn't it? Let's see where old Hannity and his sheriff's badge in the corner of the screen go with that. Also, in the background, this word sympathy for the terrorists. And there's pictures of people in balaclavas firing rockets. So I think it's already clear that Sean's got an angle.
Now, interestingly enough, there was no mention of the terrorist group Hamas and their role in this conflict. After all, they started this conflict.
Bit childish.
So my question is, why is America's largest Muslim, so-called civil rights group, showing sympathy to terrorists? Here to debate this from the American Islamic Forum for Democracy, Dr. Zudi Jasser is with us. And also joining us, the Executive Director of the Jerusalem Fund and Palestinian Center in Washington, Munayer is with us. Welcome all of you. Thanks for being here. Youssef,
thanks,
let me ask you this. If I fire 1,600, 2,000 rockets into your neighborhood...
Sean's already pointing, like, as soon as he starts, if I fire... Sean, you're already being unreasonable. This isn't the normal terms and style of debate. You've entered into aggression with your very first gambit.
I kidnapped three children in your neighborhood, students, and I killed them. What do you think the proper proportionate response is?
Sean's not a solution-based guy. Sean's not anyone got, right, we want peace. What things should we say and focus on to arrive at peace? Sean's thinking, we want conflict. What things can I say to exacerbate conflict?
Well, maybe you should stop the ongoing, for decades-long, military occupation of Palestinian territory.
Okay.
Necessarily, in a dispute, the side with inferior resources has to use more desperate tactics. So, like big countries like Britain or America or Israel have like proper militaries, proper military resources. But small countries like Palestine, or God, there isn't even a Palestine now, Gaza Strip, they don't have an army. They don't have one. So, like, if they're in any way going to try and defend themselves, it's going to be through what we would perceive or term as act of terror. But that's just language, really. Like, if I sort of beating up someone with a variety of weaponry and they're jabbing me with a pin, it's like, that's a pin technique! You're an animal! that's the only thing they have in order to defend you. Of course, they're still out of order, the pin, don't you know, it hurt and everything. But you don't remove all context except for the information that's convenient to you.
Listen, we can take it back to the 1948 partition plan, and we can look at the 67 war, the 73 war.
Yes, let's do that, Sean, because as you know, that's the broader context. But Sean's going to say, let's not consider any of those things, because he's not interested in truth. Sean Hannity, and the reason he's got this job on Fox News, is only interested in pushing a particular perspective. And you say, but so are you, Russell. And you'd be right. And that perspective is this. Peace
Now I'm asking you a question. If thousands of rockets are fired in your neighborhood, what, and kids in your neighborhood are kidnapped, what are you going to do?
But Sean, this rocket attack that you're proposing to the people of Gaza will be a massive reduction from what they're enduring. It will be a bloody relief.
Sean, if
what
the
are you
going to
do?
Sir, I'm going to try to answer your question if you
good
stop
answer.
Badgering me.
Good luck. Good luck, mate, answering Sean's question. Because Sean don't want an answer to your question. Sean wants to say more stuff while jabbing
his finger aggressively. You're watching the truth.
If the United States was invaded by a foreign military and besieged and surrounded...
Wouldn't happen. It's too good at fighting.
And the food that was coming into the United States was counted by the calories so that people would be put on a diet, as the Israelis claim.
You are making a rationalization.
You asked the question. No, he's answering it. Like, so that might seem like a rationalization. He's giving you bits of information, Sean, in response to your question, and in my saying quite a reasonable, sanguine and calm way, given that I don't know if he's got, we don't know yet whether that the guys there have screens where they can see Sean furiously jabbing at the space in front of his own face, but if they can, that must be antagonistic for them.
You are making a rationalization for rockets and kidnapping and murder.
I don't understand what they mean. It's just the same sundry words again. Yeah,
rockets, kidnapper, murder, a little baby duckling kicked in the face.
These are just things that are bad.
And you expect the Israel? You want to blame the victims in this case, Zudi Johnson?
The only people blaming the victim here is you.
Forget everything else if you want, because that's Sean's technique, isn't it? Forget
this agreement and the division of the land when Palestine got taken away from them and the numerous wars and the encroachment of the territory.
All right, then, well, let's forget all of that. But what you must observe is that people that have got power have got more power than people without power. That's a really obvious thing. So they ain't got much power there in Gaza. Like, they've only got, like, I mean, their little network of tunnels and their few puny rockets, that's what it boils down to. Israel gets billions of dollars of military aid. It's a proper hardcore army, nuclear arsenal. So if you're trying to solve the problem, who are you going to talk to? Not that it's not bad that Israel has to deal with terrorist attack. Of course it is. But what are we looking for? A solution or just a verdict on who's bad? Because that's not going to get any of it anywhere.
I want to ask Youssef a question. Is Hamas a terrorist organization?
A terrorist organization.
Look at Sean, so pleased with that, isn't he? Youssef, is Hamas a terrorist organization?
Let me finish, Youssef!
Do I get to actually speak now?
Well, I don't know. Are you going to say it's a terrorist organization?
You get to answer the question. It's a simple yes or no question. Is
sir,
Hamas...
You invited me on here.
Is
sir,
Hamas...
You invited me on
is
here
Hamas,
as a
I'm
guest.
Asking you a question.
Sean looks like he's going to cry. So I'm happy about that.
Is that a terrorist organization? That's a yes or no question.
Thank you for your question, and
now
I will provide an answer.
Finally.
It's very telling to me, that, and it should be telling to your viewers as well, by the way, that the moment you have a Palestinian voice on your program who begins to explain the legitimate grievances of Palestinians on the ground...
Is Hamas a terrorist organization? Answer.
Sir, let me, sir,
answer
let
the
me
question.
Finish. Am I a guest on your program or
yeah,
am I
you're
a,
a guest,
or am
but
I
you don't
on
get
a witness
filibuster.
Stand
answer,
here?
Is Hamas a terrorist organization?
The United States certainly considers Hamas a terrorist organization.
Do you consider...
We don't
I didn't
know
ask
that.
What the United States think. I asked what you think.
Okay. I don't care about the United States. Well, I do. I love it. It's a great country. But mostly, I care about you saying Hamas is a terrorist organization.
If you think that we are going to have any progress in this situation by simply yelling at me...
I didn't take a job on Fox News because I'm interested in progress. I'm interested in shouting and pointing... and simplifying things.
Is
Let me ask you a question at this point.
Is Hamas a terrorist organization? Yes
let
or no?
Let me ask you a question,
no,
sir.
No, you don't
point.
Answer a question with a question.
You don't answer a question with a question. That's another one of the rules I have.
Is Hamas... What part of this can't you get through your thick head?
Sean, you're being rude now, mate. That's really rude.
I think...
Is Hamas a terrorist organization?
Excuse
yes
me?
Or no?
I already answered
yes
your question.
Yes or no?
I already answered your question.
You did not.
Well, this is the problem, Yusuf, is that we cannot...
Your father and I have been discussing you for a while.
Why is he asking you about the terrorist organization? Because terrorist organizations use children as shields.
When reports back from Gaza, people go, they're not using children as human shields. Those children are dying. Missiles are going off all over the place, and Gaza's only a little tiny area. But, like, even if they were, even if everyone was, like, carrying children around literally strapped to wooden boards using them as shields, they still would die if you didn't shoot them with missiles. So I think the key ingredient in the death of those children is the missile, not the using them as shields, which I don't think happens. That's dehumanisation. These children are the children of people, people like us. Once you start saying people don't love their children, that's how genocide starts.
And just like when America had to go into Afghanistan, had to go into Iraq, we saw pictures from CARE and other organizations saying America is killing innocents, when in fact we were fighting a legitimate war.
Some would consider the arming of Israel, the constant bombardment, the murder of children, to be terrorists. But that's not how Israel sees it, or how the United States sees it. And when Britain was occupying India or Ireland and all of the countries, that you could call that terrorism. It was certainly terrible and awful, but the way we were taught it, that's just all right, that's a good thing that's happening. So don't you think maybe that applies with the other thing? No!
And this is about, if you want to
You had your chance.
You had your chance. You didn't say Hamas is a terrorist organization, and now you can't be on the TV no more.
You had your chance. You didn't say Hamas is a terrorist organization.
Sir,
goodbye. Coming up next.
Goodbye. That's amazing. That's amazing.
But one of the definitions of terrorist is using intimidation to reach your goals. Who in that situation was behaving like a terrorist? Using intimidation, bullying, being unreasonable. Sean Hannity. That's where the terrorism is coming from. There's no objective terrorism, there's just different perspectives of violence. No one should be using violence, but if you're going to judge violence pejoratively and negatively, and God knows we all should, then the people that are doing the most and the most effective violence surely are committing the greater crime. I don't know, it's a complicated issue, it's gone on for millennia, so I don't think we're going to solve it on the truth, but there's certainly some things to think about.
It's really almost unbelievable how rotten these guys are. And along with Scumball and all of them, they got that Newsmax I see on DirecTV now, going on and on and on and on, how wonderful Israel is and how horrible everybody else is and how horrible the Palestinians are for throwing rocks at guys with tanks. Well, the faith and credit of the United States and several other countries is going totally down the tube as far as any respect they have in the world for this crap. There's nothing you and I can do about it other than pound our chests and yell and scream now and then, but the main thing is you know what's going on. You're living under a dictatorship. You're living under a oligarchy. And it's going to get worse. That's all we can say. It's just going to get worse because, I mean, and the media causes more death than anything as far as I'm concerned. The media drum up more violence and people being killed than anything else in this country, because they give the the nod to the people who do the shooting, and the media is not looking for peace. These people in the media, they're not looking for peace. They're looking for war. War sells airtime, sells soap, you know, because of their sponsors and all that kind of stuff. So the worst thing that could happen to the corporate media is peace. Well, I guess we'll have to go to a funny show, The Daily Show, with a Jew, John Stewart. to get some interesting balance on this thing. Let's listen to him.
Getting to the regular show, the Middle East. This is terribly upsetting. It remains in turmoil. This is a dangerous region, even for people who don't live there and say merely express the mildest of concern about the humanitarian tragedy of civilians who have nothing to do with the warring factions, only to take a rash from everyone who went to your bar mitzvah. Statute of limitations. Look, a $50 savings bond does not buy you a lifetime of criticism. But help is on the way to this troubled region.
The world's a scary, dangerous place, but it's a less scary, less dangerous place when America leads.
The United States has tried to foster peace, democracy, and stability in the Middle East.
Bring peace to the Middle East.
Double down on our efforts to bring peace to this region.
We all want to see peace.
It's what we do. Now, originally, we just went to the region to rid it of a madman with WMDs. But it turned out he didn't have this. But at that point, we realized actually we were just bringing the region democracy anyway. But then the region used their democracy wrong, totally used it wrong, and voted for non-USDA-approved candidates. Let me tell you something, Middle East. When you're voting for Democratic candidates, you got to read the labels. So clearly, the region is stubbornly resisting the United States' choices for their democracy. Looks like the U.S. is going to have to go in a different direction to bring about peace.
The United States gives about $1.3 billion a year in military aid to Egypt.
Egypt uses F-16 jet fighters. They provide the Abrams tank. They provide the Apache helicopter.
But you know, because we want a lasting peace in the region, you didn't stop there. Jordan, why don't you try some Javelin missiles there? And hey, Saudi Arabia, turn that frown upside down. Have $6.8 billion worth of peace, including bunker buster bombs, slammer missiles, and have a helicopter. And don't think we're going to forget about you, Iraq. You're the OG, the original geopolitical catastrophe.
The Pentagon, of course, as you know, continues to provide Iraq with billions in military aid, billions of dollars worth of Apache helicopters from Boeing, Hellfire missiles also made by Lockheed.
We're the United States. We're like the Oprah of Middle East weapon systems. You get some bombs. You get some bombs. Everybody get some bombs. You know what, though? As I look at the map, you're welcome. As I look at the map, I realize there's a lot of the region that we haven't pieced to the hilt yet. So you know what? Let me throw $4 billion in missiles and munitions over to the UAE. And Oman? Oh, man. You got $2.1 billion Raytheon missile system coming. Kuwait no longer. You seem like a $4.2 billion in Patriot missiles type of country. And, I don't want to say it, but I guess it's time to make it Bahrain. Missiles. And Black Hawk helicopters. Go shoot down something nice. No. Go shoot down something nice. But do not use those helicopters, Bahrain, to crack down on political dissidents in your own country. Don't use them for that. Again. Don't do it again. Don't think I'm forgetting about you, Qatar. I don't normally trust a country that starts with a Q and doesn't follow it up with a U, but you know what? Here's a little taste.
Qatar reportedly just spent $11 billion to buy American Patriot missile batteries and Apache attack helicopters.
Did I say a taste? I meant a mouthful. Now, you may be thinking to yourself, geez, all this buildup of peace on Earth might set off alarms on Venus. It's okay, we'll send them missiles too. F*** it, I don't care. Just not to Mars, because as we know, they don't need missiles. They need moms. Sorry, just really, I just feel so badly for Mars. So now that the United States has made themselves the Johnny Missile seeds of the region, we can focus in on the main conflict between Israel and Hamas.
Military assistance to Israel has been very strong, $3 billion a year.
Not to mention all the trees we've planted there over the years. That's got to provide some cover. And even when we're not selling Israel weapons, we're helping them with a little R&D.
While the Iron Dome is largely Israeli technology, much of the funding comes from the United States. Israel asked for $225 million in emergency funding.
The Iron Dome is what's protected them from those rockets and is so popular with our legislators, we can jam its funding into almost anything.
Senate Democrats tied the funding to a problem more than 7,000 miles away. The highly controversial Senate border bill.
Everyone knows you mash up the thing people want with the thing people don't like, but really need. It's like when Bo won't take his antibiotics and the president wraps it in a little slice of American cheese and feeds it to him. Looks like there ain't nothing that could possibly go wrong with our plan to send billions and billions of dollars in weapons to an incredibly volatile region of the world in order to bring it peace.
ISIS militants who have picked up American-made weapons on their way from Syria.
Nearly half a million weapons supplied by the U.S. to Afghan security forces may end up in the hands of Taliban insurgents.
Well, it's a good thing we flooded our allies with sophisticated weapons because they're going to need them to fend off all our other sophisticated weapons. But the point is, by flooding the area with weaponry, we can keep things peaceful and Hamas isolated.
The bulk of the financing that goes to Hamas comes from Qatar.
They give $400 million to Hamas.
What? What the Qatar? We just sold you $11 billion in arms. You better not be regifting. Are you regifting? Is that what you're doing? Man. You know something? Spreading democracy in the Middle East is so hard. Maybe we shouldn't have done it Second Amendment first. We'll be right back.
You know, satire is a hell of a weapon, and I love it. I've always loved satire, and I got to hand it to Stuart. He did a damn good job on that. And that's the way it is. We're spreading weapons. And then they say, well, we've got to build these weapons because it put so many people out of work in the United States. So we have to make all these weapons. We have to have weapons factories all over the country because we've shipped all our other domestic manufacturing out of the country. So the only thing we've got left is to build arms and then ship them and give them and loan them and put them all over the world, man. And one of these days it's going to be like How I Stopped Worrying and Loved the Bomb, Dr. Strangelove. But as I've said many times, worse is better for now. Let them kill each other off. Let them go. Let them go, man. Do it. Yeah. Make sure you get your head down and have a comfy place underground like I do. But don't forget, everybody, anybody that is critical of the U.S. government and the giant corporation, predatory corporation, the military-industrial complex, you're a terrorist. If you criticize, you're a terrorist. When in fact there is no such thing as a terrorist, there's only unconventional warfare. But it works very well for the demagogues to throw that around. Everybody's a terrorist, no matter. You can be a little terrorist, a big terrorist, but anything that goes against the grain in this country or in Europe or Middle East, you're a terrorist. How dare you fight for your land? How dare you? Oh, man. And while we're continuing to waste billions of dollars on arms and pouring money down the rat hole of Israeli, our own infrastructure and environment goes to hell. Federal environmental officials have failed to adequately oversee hundreds of thousands of wells used to inject toxic oil and gas drilling waist deep underground, according to a new congressional report. Well, they can report on it, but are they going to do anything about it? The report released Monday by the U.S. Government Accountability Office is critical of the Environmental Protection Agency's inconsistent handling of safety inspections, poor record keeping, and failure to adjust its guidelines to adapt to new risks brought by the recent boom in domestic drilling, which we don't need, including the understanding that injection wells are causing earthquakes. Well, of course, this is what the corporations want, and this is what the corporations get. Since the tail wags the dog, the U.S. government totally controlled by the ruling class, the elite. The EPA generally agreed with the GAO's findings and characterizations of the challenges the agency is currently facing. What challenges? Just provide the information, give it to the president, make an executive order, and clean it up, goddammit! Concerns have mounted recently about potential water contamination from injection wells. Recently, we've known about it for years and years. They've been doing this shit for many, many decades, maybe 100 years. They've ordered an emergency shutdown of 11 oil and gas waste injection sites and review of more than 100 others out of fears that fracking fluids and other toxic waste are reaching drinking water aquifers there. Well, they sure are. You know it. By the time you start complaining about it, it's already happened. Earthquakes from Ohio to Oklahoma to Texas have been blamed on injection wells governed by the EPA's program. But who defends this shit? It's the right wing. It's the Republicans that defend this crap all the time. All the time. Just like they so desperately defend Israeli and the Jews. The GAO's findings echo those in a 2012 ProPublica investigation, which found that the nation's injection wells were often poorly regulated and experienced high rates of failure, likely leading to pollution and underground water supplies. It's already happening. Not only the disappearing of the water, of fresh water, drinking water, but the introduction of polluted water everywhere. ProPublica's investigation found that the EPA did not know exactly how many wells exist in the United States. Some protection. And what volume of waste was being injected into them. And that it is not, that it did not possess complete records required to collect under the Safe Drinking Water Act. See, they just talk about it and they write rules, but they never enforce it. They don't enforce it. They talk about it. They say, oh my God, oh my God. And the press put out something and they say, oh my God, it's terrible. But they don't do anything. Oversight of injection wells is currently delegated to the EPA, which does nothing. To a number of state agencies who do nothing. Part of the problem that GAO found is that the EPA has not consistently inspected those state programs to ensure that state regulators comply with Safe Drinking Water Act and EPA guidelines, like down in West Virginia where they filled the rivers full of toxic crap. And they're not going to clean it up. They're not going to clean it up. They say, well, just don't drink for a while till it washes on downriver. To the people downriver get it. Because the corporations, they're not going to clean it up. Or why did they cause it to be so filthy in the first place? Because they don't care. They don't give a shit. The EPA also has failed to incorporate requirements it has placed on some of the state programs into federal regulations. You can have all the regulations in the world, but if you don't enforce it. You got Simpson-Mazzoli was supposed to to return millions of Mexicans to Mexico and Central and people to Central America. Did it happen? Hell no. They're supposed to jail the CEOs that hired illegal aliens. Did it happen? No, because the big boys didn't want it to happen. And here in Indiana, these people vote, almost block vote for Republicans that are really spearheading all of this crap, environmental destruction, arms manufacturing, occupying other countries. And then they go to church on Sunday and dress in their nice clothes and drive their nice cars right down my road to their great to their big houses down the road, you know, that they're never in. They never see any kids in the yard or anything, making it difficult for the agency to take legal action against the violators. No, we need more than so-called legal action. We need, if it takes illegal action like Earth First, then we should do it. It should be done. It's never a crime to protect the environment when you have absolute proof the environment's being destroyed. The EPA oversees more than 700,000 injection wells, which never should have been drilled, of various types in the United States, including about 172,000 that pump waste or other materials from oil and gas industry underground. That's lovely, isn't it? These wastes, often euphemistically referred to as salt water, commonly contain a mixture of water, hazardous chemicals, and radioactive minerals. This subset of wells, called Class 2 wells, were the focus of the GAO report. Well, they're dumping radioactive materials into the Colorado River up at the high end, and washes right down into the Gulf of Mexico. The poor Gulf of Mexico is being totally destroyed. The subject of wells called Class 2 wells were the focus of this GAO report. When waste material is injected thousands of feet underground, rock formations are supposed to prevent it from migrating into nearby water sources. But this is not an exact science, and regulators have been finding that fractured natural rock formations and injecting liquids into them at high pressures can have real and troubling consequences. ProPublica's investigation found numerous instances in which waste had strayed from its target underground or spurted back to the surface, sometimes in residential areas. You know, some places people are opening their water tap, if they light a match, flame comes out. Pretty soon the people are going to be sitting on the shitter, and they're going to light up a cigarette, and it's going to blow them sky high. Scientists interviewed by ProPublica said wells were often located adjacent to fault lines, which break the seals of rock layers or old oil wells, which also allows a pathway for contaminants to spread. The Class 2 waste wells in question are not subject to the same rigorous geologic study, safety reviews, and regular monitoring that the EPA requires of other toxic waste injection wells from other industries, making it difficult for the EPA to enforce protections of underground drinking water supplies, ProPublica. Well, thank your ruling class, thank your runaway corporations, corporate dictatorship that we're living under, that it's not going to be cleaned up, I don't think. I think it's just going to continue to get worse. According to the new GAO report, the EPA and state programs are also being hindered by budget constraints. We can't afford to clean up the water. You can't afford it? Well, you can't afford not to, you dumb bastards. Between 2003 and 2012, the funding of the state injection well programs stagnated at about $10 million a year, which is a drop in a bucket, which factoring in inflation effectively means resources had declined, the GAO concluded. The report also blamed the EPA for not taking steps to collect complete, consistent, and reliable data on injection wells to use for reporting at a national level, mirroring some of the ProPublica's key findings. Unless EPA takes these steps, it will be several years before EPA can provide updated information at a national level to Congress, the public, and others on the injection well program that's polluting the groundwater all over the country. And we're losing groundwater at a high rate anyhow, preventing them from understanding the program and the protection being provided to underground sources of drinking water at an important juncture in the development of oil and gas in the country, the GAO warned. Well, what are you getting? What are you pumping that gas and that oil out for anyhow? You're selling it overseas. These big corporations are selling all this shit that they're pumping out that we don't have to have overseas. So we're not even using it ourselves. We're shipping it to the third world, shipping it to other European countries too. In other words, we're committing environmental suicide, racial suicide, blowing the shit out of everybody we can. Oh boy, ain't that wonderful. Well, let's talk a little bit about security or lack of security. We must never be surprised when we learn once again that our lawmakers and law interpreters are in bed with the country's largest corporations. This is how the American government now operates. A July 25th article in Vice includes documentation that shows three judges from the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act Court, the tribunal that evaluates the legality of NSA's practices, own stock in Verizon, although there doesn't seem to be a direct financial incentive for judges to allow the NSA to rifle through the data, our data, of a company of which they have invested. It does show that the intimate relationship, the NSA, the FISA court, and the Verizon share. Now remember, the FISA courts are secret. They're like star chambers. We're in Britain. Forget the Constitution when you're dealing with a FISA court. They can issue an arrest warrant on you, and nobody will know why. Nobody will know the wiser. Specifically, the article states on May 28th last year, Judge James Zagel, an FISA court member since 2008, purchased stock in Verizon. In June of this year, Zagel signed off on a government request to the FISA court to renew the ongoing metadata collection program. The piece goes on to say that the FISA court judges Susan Wright and Dennis Saylor, who own shares in the company, and although Vice wasn't able to obtain accurate numbers for the amount invested, it appears to be in the thousands of dollars. The Vice article notes that the judges are supposed to be removing themselves from cases in which they might have a financial stake in the outcome, unquote, or from any case which they might find it difficult to be impartial. Well, forget that. All judges are partial. There is no such thing as an impartial judge. The Verge also pointed out that telecommunication companies like Verizon receive millions of dollars from the government in their record-sharing deals. Cases are supposed to be reassessed when there is evidence of conflict of interest. Perhaps it is time the government rethinks why it is allowing massive surveillance on its citizens when the majority of Americans are opposed to the practice and there appears to be a relationship between the court allowing it and the companies harvesting the information. Well, it's obvious. It's an oligarchy. It's a dictatorship. It's Big Brother. It's all wrapped up into one. You don't vote on anything that's important. You get to vote for these paid agents of the corporations, congressmen and senators, and they're not going to vote your way. unless it's some silly stuff like smoking pot or the abortion issue, things like that. Now, abortion is important, of course, but the Republicans simply use it as something to keep their Christian Zionists in line. Let's also not forget that President Obama can unilaterally shut down the NSA's phone surveillance, but also the guy who's just fine with a former Monsanto executive leading the FDA's food and nutrition programs. Talk about the fox watching the hen house. A recent Human Rights Watch report details the overarching effects of NSA surveillance. The report starts out by outlining how it affects journalists, highlighting that the inside threat program makes government officials less likely to interact with writers for fear of prosecution. You see, this is just like the Stasi was in East Germany, only expanded and multiplied 1,000 times. And the Stasi program in East Germany was almost 100% Big Brother locked in. Everybody had a file, and every other person was an informant. Well, this is 100,000s of times worse. It's NSA, man. Anyhow, I always consider everything to be... there's nothing really safe in communications. There's no way that you can be totally secret. If you make the mistake of saying anything criminal on a telephone, on a computer, almost anything, you're being very foolish. Very, very, very foolish. Because they'll get you if they can. And if they can't get you any other way, they'll get you in court into this corrupt practices law situation under that. I mean, there's a million ways they can get you. So your job is to look, see, report, be calm. Our time will come, but it's certainly not now. It's not right now. We will let the militias handle it. The militias. Incidentally, you know, I've seen a lot of movies in wartime movies, and all of them talking about the Eastern Front in Second World War. They use the term partisans. I like that term, partisans. I'd like to use that as we are Aryan partisans. What do you think about that? I like the word. It has a power to it. And it means, guerrilla warfare in all its phases, you know, peaceful, non-peaceful, whatever. So let's be Aryan partisans, okay? Well, you can still be a lone wolf. Well, the minimum wage debate has finally got some interesting information from Mary Poppins, no less. Let's listen to this.
Mary Poppins?
I'm afraid I'm leaving for good this time, children.
But why?
Hold this. I'm only paid the federal minimum wage. See?
But you have magical powers.
You'd think that would entitle me to more than $7.25 an hour.
Please don't leave this choice position. We will die of malnutrition.
Jane, don't be dramatic. In every job that must be done, you must be paid in more than fun. You get your paycheck and snap. Federal and state income tax, Medicare and Social Security? Why, you're living below the poverty line.
And every job you start to do can quickly go askew. The pay's too low. I can't live on this dough. Just a $3 increase can make a living wage. It makes a living wage. It makes a living wage. Just a $3 increase can make a living wage. I don't get these birds for free. A penguin hopping off to work is feeling like a stupid jerk. He can't even buy some fish to feed his kids. Job at night, the penguin parents start to fight. They're broke, they smoke, their college fund's a joke. Just a $3 increase can make a living wage. It makes a living wage. It makes a living wage. Just a $3 increase can make a living wage. I still don't get these birds for free. The CEOs in fancy suits each giving their own trumpet toots. Forget how hard it is to work a shift. They don't like to break a sweat. They prefer to just collect. They take, they give a lot, so much. It's really got to start.
Are you a Republican? I do love a good tea party. Cheeky.
Just a $3 increase can make a living wage. I get my birds from Mexico.
Well, isn't that just supercalifragilisticexpialidocious bullshit?
They passed an ordinance in the town. They said we'd have to tear it down. That little old shack out back, so dear to me. Though the health department said its day was over and dead, it will stand forever in my memory. Don't let them tear that little brown building down. Don't let them tear that precious building down. Don't let them tear that little brown building down. For there's not another like it in the country or the town. It was not so long ago that I went tripping through the snow out to that house behind my old hound dog, where I'd sit me down to rest like a snowbird on his nest and read the Sears and Roebuck catalog. I would hum a happy tune, peeping through the quarter moon, as my daddy's kin had done before. It was in that quiet spot daily cares could be forgot. It gave the same relief to rich and poor. Don't let them tear that little brown building down. Don't let them tear that precious building down. Don't let them tear that dear old building down. In the country or the town. Now it was not a castle fair, but I could dream a future there and build my castles to the yellow jacket's drone. I could orbit around the sun, fight with General Washington, or be a king upon a golden throne. Now he's seen one of them, I know. It wasn't fancy built at all. We had newspapers on the wall. It was air conditioned in the winter time. It was just a humble hut, but its door was never shut, and a man could get inside without a dime. Don't let them tear that little brown building down. Don't let them tear that precious building down. Don't let them tear that dear old building down, for there's not another like it in the country or the town.
Well, there you go, boys and girls. Ended up with Billy Ed Wheeler there, quite a singer. You can get more of his songs up on YouTube. But if you haven't, frequented that little brown shack out back, you haven't lived, man. I'll bet you there's not too many people tune into this radio station that ever saw one. Yeah, reading that Sears and Roebuck catalog with those girls with the brassieres and the panties and stuff like that. Yeah, that was our porn back in the old days. That's it. I'll be back with you tomorrow on Freya's Day, Ladies' Day in the bunker, She-Wolf Day in the bunker. In the meantime, keep cool, keep smart. Don't let them rattle you. We got a long way to go, and we got to take it cool, and we'll get there. In the meantime, watch out for your DNA, and shut up.